The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Miku, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. Today, we have a lot to talk about in this first hour before we get to Leah Gilmore in the second hour, which will be a joy and a treat. But we are going to talk about the transportation of Baltimore City, and do trolleys have a place in it? You remember trolleys? I do. We'll get to that in just a minute with our guests. But first, talking about traffic, let's get you home safe and turn now to WEAA traffic, where there are no trolleys yet.
Traffic is brought to you by Luna, offering flooring, carpet, hardwood, and laminate flooring. Information at 877-241-LUNA or luna.com.
Chances are, if you're traveling on the Beltway, you're tapping on the brakes. Update brought to you by New Centrum Ultra. Interloop between 70 and 795 for delays. Slow again from Greenspring Avenue to Lock Raven Boulevard. In the mix, a crash off on the right shoulder prior to the JFX. Accident on 95 southbound at the Beltway, and the JFX northbound affected by an accident at Northern Parkway, blocking the two right lanes. Plus, southbound on 83 at Fayette Street, there's a crash. Pulaski Highway at Moravia for another one in the city. Anne Arundel County, big problems there. 32 westbound at 198 remains shut down for a crash. Eastbound is open. 176 westbound at 97. All three lanes there are blocked. And 95 northbound. Expect delays between 100 and 195. New Centrum Ultra and New Centrum Silver Ultra multivitamins are scientifically advanced and specially formulated for men and women. Live complete. I'm Joanna Campbell with Baltimore Area Traffic.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. And welcome to another one of our Urbanite radio stories. We have a partnership with Urbanite magazine. Every month, we turn a number of their stories into radio programs, or programs you can pull down on the web from stories in their magazine. And this is one of those today. And it is always a great pleasure for us to do this. And I want to remind you that Urbanite radio stories on the Mark Steiner Show are made possible by Baltimore Mediation, the first mediation firm in the state of Maryland, specializing in separation and divorce, business and workplace conflicts, located right here in Baltimore. Go to www.baltimoremediation.com. And the article that we are plucking from the pages of Urbanite magazine today is the one on trolleys. Now, if you're as old as I am, and many of you are and many of you are not, but if you're as old as I am, you remember Baltimore's trolley system. When I was a kid, you could jump on a trolley anywhere in the city of Baltimore, take it out to Baltimore County, anywhere around the city, and go anywhere. Pollution-free, ran by rail, that was hooked to electricity and wires that ran above. And you could literally go anywhere. From my house near Walbrook Junction, I could go out to Gwin Oak, I could go to East Baltimore, I could go down to Glen Burnie, I could go almost anywhere in the city downtown, and that was the way we moved. And as some people argue in the article that's in Urbanite magazine, and some people disagree with this, but that'll be a show we'll do another day, though we might touch on a little bit today, that General Motors led a mass movement in this country to destroy all of our urban transportation systems so they could sell us automobiles, and it destroyed the trolley system. Then back in 1970, when Wally Olinsky was president of city council, he actually offered up an idea to reinstall our trolley system, saying that was better than building a subway. And people thought he was crazy and said no. But the debate is back again. Jimmy Rouse, who used to own Louis on Charles Street, began to push this idea that we need a trolley going from the bottom of Charles Street all the way to the top to turn around down Maryland Avenue and come back. Well, that has fostered a huge debate in our community. Does a new urban trolley system have a place in the complexity of our transportation system? Is it just a frou-frou Gucci train system, as one of our guests has been quoted as saying? Is it a system that actually will rebuild Baltimore and bring money back in? Can it connect to the Red Line? Is it have any purpose other than moving people up and down Charles Street? We're going to talk about that and more. It's part of the debate about our future. We want you to join it. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. We're joined in studio by David Funk, who chairs the Charles Street Trolley Corporation. Pleasure to meet you and have you in the studio.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Ed Hopkins is in the studio. He runs the website trolleytrouble.org that details arguments against the Charles Street Trolley. And Ed Hopkins, pleasure to have you in the studio. Welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you. And Jamie Kendricks joins us once again. He's deputy director for the Baltimore City Department of Transportation, who's in the middle of all this in some ways. He's not going to play a referee so much as play the objective other, if you know theater. And good to have you here, Jamie.
Thanks for having me again, Mark.
And you all can join us out there. Do you want trolleys back in Baltimore? 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. So, David Funk.
Yes, sir.
Let me start with you and talk about the genesis of this idea and where this passion for the trolley comes from for you.
Well, in 2004, the Charles Street Development Corporation, which is, as its name suggests, an advocate for development on the Charles Street corridor, developed the idea that a trolley, a circulator essentially, a fixed rail circulator, would promote development along the corridor. As we talked more about it, it was clear that it had other advantages as well, enhancing urban livability, connecting the inner harbor with the wonderful cultural destinations up and down Charles Street, connecting Hopkins with the downtown area and the other neighborhoods with the downtown area. So we saw many advantages to having a trolley. The initial debate was, should it be rubber tire versus fixed rail?
I remember that.
I think that the consensus has developed. I believe that fixed rail is better because fixed rail being fixed shows a commitment and an investment and is more likely to lead to long-term development. So we have a very compact alignment running from the inner harbor to the Hopkins Homewood campus, up Charles Street, down St. Paul, cross over at Mount Royal, down Maryland, Cathedral, Liberty, underneath the Convention Center, and then Conway back to the Visitor Center. So we have a compact alignment. We think it will enhance the neighborhoods. But most important to us is that we have broad-based consensus for this, because our view, which we've held throughout, is that this should not happen unless the communities want it to happen. And so we have worked very hard to build that sort of grassroots support, and we've tried to listen as well as to explain our position.
Now, Ed Hopkins, you created this the trolleytrouble.org site.
Well, there's a group of us behind this. I'm just the person who did the site, right. But we've been meeting and gathering research, so there's a whole bunch of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I want to frame the debate around money. I mean, it's nice to talk about trolleys and how we feel about them, but we have to look about how much this costs and who's going to pay for it and how much homework we've done to justify the expenditure. On our trolley site, www.trolleytrouble.org, I've put a whole bunch of pages out there with documents that I'm going to talk to today so people can look at them, and some documents talking about the new Charm City Circulator, which I hope comes up too. But what we're looking at is a trolley that's going to be 3.5 miles long. It's going to cost at least $160 million. Now, given that trolley projects like this are usually underestimated by 50 to 100%, you could be looking at $300 million. And the question is, where is this money coming from?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people, you know, when you look at the light rail, it costs a lot of money to lay the rails. Where is the money coming from? The current plan is to do something called TIFs. TIFs are basically taking future city tax revenues and committing them to pay for the trolley. Now, we can go into details of it, but basically, the people in Baltimore, through their taxes, will be paying for the trolley. So we're going to be putting out, the way things are currently planned, $160 to $300 million for the trolley. So the question is this a sensible thing to do with our money? Now, the claim that we hear from the Charles Street Development Corporation is that it's going to generate so much development that it's going to pay for itself. And they say, look at Portland. Look at Portland. Portland had $2 billion worth of development. Now, the problem is that this claim about Portland is questionable. You look at the feasibility studies that the Charles Street Development Corporation has overlooked at, there's not a shred of analysis of what happened in Portland. I mean, there's lots of, we have documents that talk about Portland. what Portland did, they a lot of development sprung up along the trolley line, but wasn't due to the trolley. I mean, you have to look at development, analyze what happened in Portland, compare it to Baltimore, see if any of this makes sense. For instance, in Portland, there were 200 undeveloped acres next to the trolley line. Now, that doesn't sound like Charles Street to me, unless I'm missing Charles Street.
Well, let me, because I finish what you thought, but
we have to
cover this ground over a course of an hour here.
Just get the ideas on the table. We have to study these claims about how this project's going to pay for itself. And once we see that it's probably not going to, we have to look at all this money that's going for this fixed rail system, which is expensive. Can the city afford this money? Should it be going to public services? Or the other idea I want to have out on the table is this Charm City Circulator. Now, these new buses used by the circulator are really, really efficient buses. They're friendly. They're quiet. They're even said to be quieter than trolleys. So, I mean, I think we should have announced whether these kind of buses should be used instead of trolleys.
These are the hybrid buses that are going to be put on the street.
Yes.
And what?
Starting at the end of the summer.
At the end of the summer.
Phased
on the street.
Fall. Correct.
They cost $500,000 a piece.
Right.
For the cost of putting the trolley lines down, we could buy 300 of these buses.
Jamie Kendricks, what is the city's position on whether or not Baltimore should have a trolley again? And do we need a trolley in Baltimore? What's the city's position?
Well, I think, Mark, that the mayor's position is that we are very supportive of continuing to do the due diligence on this project, that the concerns of Mr. Hopkins and others have raised are absolutely legitimate questions that need to be answered. In fact, probably the highest hurdle that we have said to the Charles Street Development Corporation is we need to figure out the financing plan for this before we commit too much to the design and engineering, because that the design and engineering of such a project is a significant expense unto itself. But there's no doubt that in the context of the city's sustainability efforts, our efforts to attract a younger population to the city, to grow the city, that we've got to be aggressive in the way that we view transportation, and that we have to get rid of our reliance on the automobile. So in that context, I think the city is very supportive anytime anybody's talking about more transit. In the context of the Charles Street corridor, I would say if there is one corridor in the city, and I hope my friends on the Red Line corridor won't use this against me.
Probably they will, but go ahead.
Yes. If there's one corridor in the city where that we know that there is a market for transit, historically, over the last 200 years, and it is well-established and well-traveled, it is the Charles Street corridor. So the idea that you don't need to put fixed rails on Charles Street is, I don't think holds much water. I mean, I think the alignment is pretty well established in terms of the way that this city has developed and the region has developed over, several hundred years. So I think we want to be very much supportive of this project. We've laid out a series of steps that we think that the advocates need to take to get us there. And then we will then try and do our part, bring in the state and federal partners to the table. So there are legitimate issues that need to be answered. We think that the Trolley Corporation is working through those issues in a matter that is very open and very transparent and very thoughtful. And as we answer those questions, we'll kind of be prepared to take additional steps with them, but we've got to answer those questions.
So we're talking about whether or not there should be a trolley here in downtown Baltimore. Does it fit into our transportation future? Is it a project that makes people feel good? Does it really serve a function? Will it really bring people downtown? Will it develop Charles Street or not? And is that the ultimate question? So we want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. This is one of our Urbanite radio stories. We're talking about the article. It was a main feature in this month's Urbanite magazine, talking about our transportation future. You just heard Jamie Kendricks, who is deputy director for the Baltimore City Department of Transportation. Before that, you heard Ed Hopkins, who runs the website trolleytrouble.org, that details the arguments against the Charles Street Trolley. David Funk chairs the Charles Street Trolley Corporation. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. We also already have several emails that have come in that we will get to in a moment. But so the idea here we're talking about now is not a trolley system that would bring back trolleys in Baltimore as a transportation system that would connect to buses and light rail and red lines. We're talking about a trolley that goes from the bottom of Charles Street up to the top of Charles Street and then back downtown again. Is that right?
I would say, Mark, again, from the city's perspective, if the only reason we do this is to build the trolley up and down Charles Street, we probably ought not do it. But it really is in the context of a regional vision for transit that includes...
How does that fit into your regional vision?
that the potential to expand this system along the lines of what the Baltimore Region Rail System Plan calls for is absolutely in line with what the Charles Street trolley concept is. Well, to extend something more in the north central... I think one of the limitations of the existing light rail is that it is a little bit too far west, and as it travels through the valley, it really dodges some of the greatest population centers and institutions in central Baltimore. And so being able to go up Charles Street to serve the Charles Villages and the Hopkins and the arts institutions in Mount Vernon, et cetera, is a weakness of the existing light rail system. So if you view this as another piece of the Baltimore Region Rail System Plan, which I think we're inclined to do, then I think it advances that regional vision. I don't think we view it just in one kind of limited
piece. So, David, let me bring you back in and bring Ed back in, but let me ask this question. So I want to put it on the main table and understand, and then we're going to go right to the phones. And Randall, who you're listening to from Washington, D.C., please hold on. We want to hear what you have to say about Portland. I just want to get some facts on the table and come right to your call, and the others at 410-319-8888. But let me ask this question with some clarity here. So this... rail, as you're planning it now, as it's being proposed, goes up Charles Street, and then where's it go?
It goes up Charles Street to University Parkway. Then it comes back down St. Paul to Penn Station. It takes a right on Mount Royal over to Maryland. Then it comes down Maryland, Cathedral, Liberty, Hopkins Place, Sharp, and then left on Conway back to the Inner Harbor. I think it's very important to remember that the anchor here is the Inner Harbor. We have a wonderful set of tourists who come to Baltimore, and we have many attractions, many of which, or if not most of which, are up and down Charles Street. But it's very difficult to get from the Inner Harbor to the Basilica, let's say. It is, on a hot, humid day, that is a very difficult walk. I think the vision here, and I agree with Ed that the financial issue ultimately is going to make or break this.
We'll come back to later.
But I think what we have, I'd like to emphasize that before we talk about the finances, we talk about the importance of this to Charles Street. Charles Street can be one of the grand avenues in this country, and a circulator that moves tourists up to the wonderful cultural institutions that we have, that moves people from neighborhood to downtown, will only enhance Charles Street and make it the sort of jewel that it should be in the city of Baltimore.
So, let's talk about disagree that there needs to be some transportation system the way Jamie is describing it, and if you agree with that, then why the trolley is not the way to do it?
Well, We do know that Charles Street has more transportation than any corridor in the city already. And this is just a 3.5-mile chunk out of it. I think the real question here that Jamie hasn't explained why the city isn't looking at it, why are we taking this very, very expensive way to build a transportation link? Putting down those rails is going to cost $160 to $300 million. We could put tons and tons of buses, specially marked buses, like the Charm City Circulator. For a fraction of the cost, we could do vastly more transportation. This is the most expensive, least efficient way to go.
That's a good question. So, Jimmy, why not spend the money as Ed Hopkins is suggesting
on 300
circulator buses that are hybrid buses that cause less pollution,
quieter than trolleys?
So, why not use those? Why trolley? Other than the aesthetic qualities,
buses are not the attraction that streetcars are. People like to ride streetcars because they are streetcars. Buses can be removed. I mean, the one thing about putting rail down is that people who have money to develop in the Charles Street corridor know that there is a commitment to this transportation that goes over many, many years. We have already had a history in this city of, as Jimmy Rouse will be quick to tell you, of having a shuttle that suddenly disappears because it's no longer in the budget.
So, okay. Ed, and then I'm on the phone, so you say something here. Go ahead.
Well, I think the important thing here is that David is making claims that I've heard many times, that the trolley will draw development. People like trolleys more than buses.
Yeah.
There is this long 93-page feasibility study. This claim is not supported by a shred of evidence. Not a shred. And there's plenty of contrary evidence in documents we have that say this is not true. So I guess I'm getting so tired of hearing this. Do you have any support for this? I mean, I don't prefer trolleys to street to buses. It's all not one, true, David.
All one needs to do is look at Portland and what's happened in Portland.
I think we should look at Portland.
A great success story.
Well, we do want to talk about Portland.
We should look at Portland.
Folks, do you think we need a trolley the way it's been described here in Baltimore or not? Is that the best way to spend our transportation money? Perhaps it is, perhaps it's not. I'd like to get your thoughts. 410-319-8888. Ed Hopkins says no. Obviously, David Funk, who runs the Trolley Corporation, says yes. And Jamie Kendrick says, well, we're the city, and so far we're supporting it, to see where it goes. 410-319-8888. Randall in Washington, D.C., you're on the air.
Well, hello.
Hi, Randall. Thanks for waiting.
I'm in Washington, D.C. today. I'm watching lots of buses and tour buses run around that are full of lots of people. But I'm actually from Portland, and the Portland story is interesting because the city of Portland claims that they built a streetcar line and they got a lot of development along it.
Right.
What they don't tell people is that they gave the developers $680 million in subsidies to build those developments. A lot of the things that the city did was build parking garages for the developments. Well, if the streetcar is so good, why do they need so many parking garages? And what we've learned in Portland is that if you subsidize development, whether you've got a streetcar or not, you'll get the development. But if you build a streetcar or a light rail line and you don't subsidize the development, you won't get any new development. The streetcar doesn't attract the development. It's the subsidies. So what you're going to see in Baltimore is they're going to come and they're going to ask for a big chunk of money to build the streetcar line, and then they're going to ask for another big chunk of money to subsidize the development. And is anybody really benefiting from this? Are we getting any new development, or is it just development that might have taken place a block away but has taken place here because we're giving the subsidies here? It's really hard to tell. What is clear is that in Portland, schools are having their budgets cut, police are having their budgets cut, fire is having their budgets cut, libraries are having their budgets cut, because the money that would have gone to those things is now going to subsidize the development along the streetcar line.
Randy, you raised some really very key issues here and important issues, and I know that I think I know who this is. And you work at Cato, don't you? Randall, you still there?
Yes, I am. Okay. I do work at the Cato Institute.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. No, no.
And was in the Urbanite article.
He was. And he raised some very cogent arguments in the Urbanite article. So, what about this? I mean, I think that what he says, or put on the table here. I mean, I think that if you were going to build this rail, things always end up costing a more than you ever did when you first dig your first hole. It's just,
right.
You know, whether it's the plumbing I just put in the basement of my house, we thought it was going to be one cost. By the time we finished the plumbing, it was a whole other cost that cost a great deal more. But that's fine. But that's what happens. So, and then the question of, we always subsidize developers in Baltimore. They get a lot of rides in Baltimore for free. So is this what's going to happen here? And is that necessarily bad?
I would back up a step. On the pure transportation question, and I'm sure Randall takes some delight in this, knowing his affiliation, there's not a single transit system in the country that pays for itself. That said, there's not a single highway agency in the state, in the country, that pays for itself either.
That's right.
Because, you know, you never include the cost of, you know, fire and police and emergency services and the cost of highways, et cetera. So I'm not sure that this is so much a debate about, you know, should you invest in transit versus, you know, schools versus, because the fact of the matter is that the funding streams are separate. You know, that policy decision, for better or worse, is pretty well settled in this country, that we have a highway trust fund, we have a transportation trust fund in Maryland. And so the question is, how will we spend our transportation dollars? And do you think it's a good investment of your transportation dollar? I can say with 100% certainty that if the mayor were choosing between investing in a new school and investing in a new trolley line, she would choose a new school. But that's not the choice that we're being asked to make. Now, I will also say that the mayor has been very clear that our first priority is to build the Red Line Transit Project in Baltimore, and that we ought to move forward with the Red Line before we move forward with the trolley. But this is not about transit versus schools. This is really about transit versus highways and transit versus more money into road construction. And is that the way we want to go? And I'll also point out one more thing, and I'm trying to be a neutral observer because we have not achieved full decision on this project, but I do think that we see the value of having a trolley line here. But a place like Boise, Idaho, is looking to build a trolley line. Boise, Idaho. And we don't want to do that here? It's not like we're the only people doing this, right? There are dozens of cities around the country who are heading down this path.
In fact, there was an article in this past Sunday's New York Times entitled New Rail Lines for Urban Renewal.
Yep.
And I think that shows the basic consensus that we have, which is that rail and development go hand in hand. And this is being seen throughout the country. And I think it would be a shame if Baltimore missed the opportunity to have this sort of development along Charles Street.
Okay, but all of this is just conjecture. All of this is just conjecture. These claims that rails draw development are not substantiated. You've done a 93-page feasibility study under the Charles Street Development Corporation. It doesn't discuss this issue at all. There's no research on it. There's nothing here. What I'd really like to call for from the city is I would like to see a thorough analysis of some of these issues about do trolleys draw development? Are they better than buses? This hasn't been touched at all. We have no knowledge, no anything on this.
I think it says something, though, Mark, that the organization that was initially the sponsor of this within city government was the Development Corporation. Right, so clearly that leads me to believe, anyway, that the Development Corporation thought there was some efficacy in the idea of building a trolley line.
And they have made their share of bad decisions over the years. I want to add as well, but what I want to ask here is, you do tout the, and I do want to get the phones. Lines are jam full of people want to get in this conversation. Want to get them in here. So, but very quickly, David Funk. I mean. Is what Ed Hopkins saying correct, that there is no evidence in your report or anywhere else that development really happens because of rail? Are these connections you want to make, but they're just not real?
I believe, and I have enormous respect for Ed, and Ed has been a great participant in this process and has helped the process along.
But I think he overlooks
what has happened in Portland. A $58 million investment spurred $2 billion in development. Right. And that's the sort of thing that we can see in Baltimore. And to miss that opportunity makes no sense to me.
I wouldn't overly focus on Portland, because I think there's dozens of examples around the city. I was in Seattle last summer and rode from the core, the old downtown, up to the South Lake Union area, which there are cranes, you know, as far as the eye can see in the South Lake Union area. And if you talk to the developers, they will tell you that they're willing to make that investment because in Seattle, the city made the investment to help draw people further north via the trolley.
But look, we can't proceed without some analysis of these claims. I mean, there are lots of claims. Everyone here should read the feasibility study produced about the trolley. There's not a shred of analysis. There's not a single reference about this issue.
I think we're covering the same ground over and over again. I'm going to move on to some other grounds. Okay. So the question is, and I would ask you all, the question is with or without development, let's say it didn't spur development, okay? Let's say that was not part of the equation. Should we have a trolley system in Baltimore instead of buses? Is it important to invest that money, which is more money than buses, but less polluting, putting rails down? Does that make more sense for the city than buses is the question.
But, Mark, you got to look at these new buses, which are less polluting.
Well, I've been on those buses when I was at the Democratic National Convention in Denver. They have those buses there. I jumped on one and went across town to these hybrid buses with those little sponge things in the middle that move people all over the city. So I was in one of those buses, and they were very lovely buses. The question is that what we want, or do we want rail? That's the question I'd like to answer. So we're saying we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to John in Remington, Pamela in Baltimore, Lynette in Charles Village, Justine in Baltimore, and Jim in Washington, D.C., we're going to go to your calls, 1-2-3-4-5, bap, 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 so you can get in this conversation. Do you want a trolley system in Baltimore? Does it make sense for us? We'll come right back with our guests. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and we are talking this hour about the trolley system in Baltimore. Should we have one or should we not? 410-319-8888, part of our Urbanite Radio Story Series, because it's part of the centerpiece of the Urbanite Magazine on transportation. We're joined in studio by Jamie Kendricks, Deputy Director for Baltimore City Department of Transportation, David Funk, who's chair of the Charles Street Trolley Corporation, let you know where he stands, and Ed Hopkins runs the website trolleytrouble.org, and let you know where he stands. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. John and Remington, you're on the air.
Taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I live about a block away from Charles Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say when I first heard the trolley, it just sounded wonderful. You know, a trolley that goes back and forth from Hopkins to the Inner Harbor. Not that those of us who live in the city actually go to the Inner Harbor. But there's two points I'd like to make. First of all, Charles Street at some points is only about 30 feet wide. The trolley cars that are being proposed, and I spent some time looking into it, these things are about the size of a light rail car. We're starting to call it the locomotive on Charles Street. These trolleys, as they're called, they're huge. They're very large vehicles. And I'm wondering if the city has really addressed what that does to traffic flow on Charles Street. That's one question I'd like to pose for your audience.
All right.
But a second is, I was at a presentation by the Charles Street Development Corporation maybe 6 months ago. It was a presentation on the trolley. And after the presentation, I was speaking with one of the other members of the audience, and she said something to me that really struck home. She said to me, you know what? She said, this is really about race and class.
What do you mean?
It's providing transportation on a corridor that has the best mass transit in Baltimore. Why would you need an alternate mode of transportation in the corridor that has the absolute best mass transit? I can walk a block from my house and be at the Inner Harbor in about 10 minutes. But why do you need something that's specifically designed to go from the Inner Harbor to where Johns Hopkins University?
You raised two very powerful issues here. Let me take your first one first, and the size of the trolley cars themselves. Jimmy, you want to grab them very quickly, and then I'm going to talk about the other issue that John raised, which I think is a very important issue.
I did promise to be the technical expert. I'm not sure that the assertion is correct. The trolley vehicles that we understand the Trolley Corporation will be looking at are, I don't want to be overly precise, but about two-thirds the size of an existing light rail vehicle. They are much smaller in profile. I tend to agree that if it were the existing light rail size vehicle on Charles Street, it wouldn't work. It would not be of the right scale. So I'm not sure that I share that assertion.
So let me talk to the other issue here, which because we can come back to the trolley debate, which we will on the show, because I think it's an important one. But this is a very important issue, the question of race and class. Some people argue that this trolley system is for white people, is for tourists, runs from one white area to another white area to another white area, and allows some people to say, I'm afraid of black people, I don't want to get on the bus, so I'll get on a trolley instead. It's cute, it's safe, and it's full of white people. That's basically what he's saying, our caller John. So let's talk about that. And why do you need it if this is populated by neighborhoods that usually walk to grocery stores and everywhere else they have to go?
Well,
David Funk. David, then yeah. Ed.
The trolley alignment follows Charles Street and takes Charles Street as it is. It connects the neighborhoods, Mount Vernon, Charles Village, Remington. It certainly connects the Inner Harbor. And the ridership will reflect, we believe, the people who use the Charles Street corridor. I don't think there is anyone that I'm aware of who promotes this for racial reasons, for class reasons. I think that is a I think that's a red herring on this. I think we need to focus on Charles Street as Charles Street and what this transit system will do to the neighborhoods, to the cultural institutions, to potential development, how it will help Hopkins, how it will help the BMA, Walters. I think to focus on race or class really just distracts from what the real issues are.
Well, and I of course take the opposite position. Light rail like this is very, very expensive. And putting $160 to $300 million in a short trolley line, we're using money that could be used to enhance the entire metropolitan bus system. There are many people in Baltimore who need to use buses. They need better buses. They need more buses, more frequent buses, better scheduled buses. We should be using the money we have, which is definitely limited, to enhance the entire transportation system, which serves all classes, especially the people who are transit dependent, and not this small corridor. the whole trolley plan is tilted towards the middle class because it takes the limited funds and puts it there, not in the whole transit system.
Ed, I absolutely believe that one has to determine priorities within the city of Baltimore, and that this is one potential project. Where it is on the scale of priorities is not for us to say. What we're doing as the Charles Street Development Corporation, the Charles Street Trolley Corporation, is to present to the communities, to the city, a possible transit system that will promote development, promote urban livability, and create once again a Charles Street that is one of the grand avenues.
Well, I'm going to go back to the phone, because I'm very quick to say it. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, one project that costs a lot of money soaks up money that could be used for other projects. We do have to choose between projects.
I agree with you on that.
410-319-8888. Pamela in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Yes, hi there.
Hi, Pamela.
I would first like to say that I don't have a license. I grew up in a city, and I've always taken buses when I have to go anywhere, including in Baltimore, and I love buses. My other comments are that this is really a light rail system. This is not a, you know, cute little Ricerone, ding, ding, ding goes a trolley type thing. And that's what everybody has to remember, because that's the impression that they're calling it a trolley. It's really a streetcar. The other thing
is...
Yeah,
it is a streetcar.
But it's not light rail. It is a streetcar. Yeah.
Well, it's close. The other thing is that if you want to see what happens, and this is a great, great fear of mine, is that look at Howard Street with the light rail. I was there about a few weeks ago.
It is a disaster.
It is a disaster. And I would hate to see that happen to Charles and St. Paul. And I am really convinced that this will happen. And if, when we moved into Baltimore, they were working on the that bridge near the train station, the Penn Station, and those businesses suffered greatly, and it took much longer, which is than what was anticipated. And that's another thing that happens. These projects take very long, and businesses cannot wait to have customers come in.
Pam, I think two questions. When I said it's a disaster, what I should say is it's ugly. But it has not done much for Howard Street, just look. But
I don't know, Mark. You spoke of your age earlier. What was Howard Street like in the early 70s, mid-70s? It was empty, gone, vacant.
It was empty, gone, and vacant. It was really lovely when I was a kid, and people went up and down the trolley. It was also segregated, but back when I was a kid.
And today that it is, you know, at least up to about Franklin Street, it is a thriving corridor with light rail functioning through it. Is it perfect? Is it beautiful? No. Do we have some improvements in the works? Yes.
How long will this project take to build, and what about the disruption to businesses and streets if they do build a project like this?
I hate to bring Portland up again, but we are again modeling ourselves in our proposal on the Portland system, which was to build a block at a time. Rather than tearing up the entire corridor with construction, each block takes approximately 3 weeks. And so it would proceed from whatever the starting point was, block by block, 3 weeks at a time, and the disruption would be minimal, you know, 3 weeks at the most.
Well, I do think that
3 weeks.
I do think three weeks is, you know, a little.
That's a little fast.
More than a little optimistic, but
What was done in Portland.
I'm not entirely sure of that. The broader point is well taken.
Nor am I.
Yeah, the broader point is well taken that if you deploy an easy or quick in, quick out strategy, you can get it done in a much shorter period of time rather than saying, we're going to work these 12 blocks for the next year and a half. I will say that, but I'm not. I think 3 weeks is overly optimistic. That said, I think if we were to proceed, we would be very aggressive in managing the construction impacts.
So basically, you're saying trust you; you'll take care of it. It won't happen like Howard Street. I mean, these projects get out of control, and there's a great chance that the businesses along Charles Street will be severely disrupted. I've talked to merchants there who dread the trolley. Not only the trolley disrupting their business will be closed down for a while, but they, after the trolley comes, they won't have delivery trucks to be able to park in front of them.
We saw how long it took to rebuild the street around the Charles Theater and Everyman Theater, and one business actually closed down because they couldn't afford to stay open and had their water cut off by accident and their electricity. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there were disasters on that block redoing this. And I will keep that this time disasters on that block. When we're just doing so, I think 3 weeks may be optimistic. It may not be 3 years or 3 months even, but it's going to take some time to build this. You're laying down rail, is no easy trick, but not saying, again, whether it should or should not happen. 410-319-8888, Lynette in Charles Village, one of the neighborhoods affected. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for
calling. I'm a Charles Village resident. I live right up near St. Paul and University.
Mm-hmm.
I love it that I live in a place where, you know, I can almost jump out of my window and catch a bus. You can catch a cab any time of the day. And I'm just wondering, we really don't need another trolley. We don't need a trolley. Take that money that you're going to planning to invest in this thing and invest it in the businesses along Charles Street. Support them. Put a portion of that money into marketing so that when tourists come, they know Charles Street is the place to go. I just don't have really good feelings about, you know, this whole trolley system. I think, you know, I appreciate the vision, but I don't think, especially in these economic times, that it's a practical thing to do. Let's build up what's there. Let's build up Station North along Charles and North and just put money into marketing and really support the merchants that are along there. So when people come into Baltimore, they get a taste of going through the neighborhoods, those shops along from Mount Vernon to Charles Street, they get a taste and a feel of what Baltimore communities are like, some of them. You know, I mean, it's basically middle-class white, but still, they'll get a taste of it. But I think it's just not a wise use of money right now.
Lynette, I'm glad you held on and had your voice heard. Now, thank you so much. Let me get another caller in here and we can comment together, okay? 410-319-8888. Justine in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, I live in Woodbury, which is conveniently located next to the light rail system.
Mm-hmm.
I work in East Baltimore. It's impossible for me to take any kind of transportation over to where I work. We need to develop the existing infrastructure that we have and make it accessible to the people. I was just in Portland a couple weeks ago visiting a friend of mine who used to live here, and we were talking about how they are very similar cities. One of the things that I noticed about Portland's development is meant for the people who live there. Baltimore's development seems to be really geared toward the tourists who visit, and you cannot sustain a good quality of life for the people who live here if you're constantly catering to the tourists that visit. And as a system, as a city, we could be way more mindful of the individuals who live here. I hate driving. I love riding my bike. I love taking public transportation. It would take me 4 hours to get to work in the morning. And I live 7 miles from my house.
From your job.
Work. Yeah. So I really think that it's important that we develop this city for the people who live here. And I mean, all of East Baltimore is completely neglected. They've taken out so much transportation. We don't need a light or a trolley system on down Charles Street. We need a comprehensive public transportation system that is geared for people who live here and people who visit.
All right. Thank you so much, Justine, for your thoughts. And let's tackle, I think both Justine, both callers and Lynette were kind of very close in their thoughts for different reasons. Let's discuss what they said.
Absolutely valid points of view. And I think important that that this discussion and debate continue on the issues that were raised by your callers. We have always believed, taking the position from the first, and I mentioned this earlier, that if the communities on the corridor don't want this to happen, it's not going to happen. And I think that the important thing is that those in Charles Village and in Mount Vernon, Remington, up and down the corridor, focus on the value of this trolley to the corridor. If it has no value, it shouldn't be built. Likewise, this competes, as your callers point out, with other projects in other parts of the city. That's really for the city to decide, not us. But certainly with respect to our project in Charles Street, if we don't have the support of the communities up and down the corridor, it shouldn't happen. And mm-hmm. I think that's why this debate is so good and so important.
Well, I think it's not just a matter of consensus. It's a matter of education. I think it's important that the people who live near the trolley understand the issues. And I think there's been a lot of disinformation, to be blunt, from the Charles Street Development Corporation. The trolley is not going to be free. It's not going to pay for itself by bringing development. That's claimed over and over again. It's not true. We have to educate the people to see what the real cost of the trolley is, to make them understand that this money that's going to pay for 3.5 miles of fixed rail could be used to put 300 of these new hybrid buses in the system and improve the whole system of Baltimore. I'm not aiming for consensus, David. I'm aiming for education, which will lead to some understanding and another decision. Well, you can't just brainwash people. You have to tell them all the facts and inform them.
John writes in, I'd like to comment that improved public transportation in general is not an option in the future. It's an absolute imperative. As oil goes back to $130, then $200, then $500 a barrel, the day of the private car will surely come to an end. The economy will thrive in that environment, will only be one that is already invested in renewable and alternative energy and energy-efficient rail transportation for people and goods. I worked on the new metro in Copenhagen, Denmark, several years ago. It ties in with a network of local, regional, countrywide, and international rail services. Virtually no neighborhood or town in the greater Copenhagen area was without a rail connection to any other part of the city. Most are on 20-minute cycle schedule. And by the way, 25%, soon to be 50% of the country's electricity will come from wind and solar. Who would really want to drive when a clean, quiet, inexpensive electric train that is really readily available? This took a huge investment, but as energy prices rise, they would be situated to maintain their recession-proof transportation network. Let's talk. He raised an issue. Let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about a rapid system coming to Baltimore, or a trolley system on rail throughout the city versus buses.
Well, let me pick up on that, Mark.
And which is more important for our city to develop? Because you can't have both. There's no reason to build both. You've got to have one or the other. Which one should we develop?
They do serve slightly different purposes, so I think you can have some of both. But I do think developing a comprehensive rail system for the region is of paramount importance. I do think, you know, it is clear, and we have the same debate in the Red Line, and I have great respect for the people who have very legitimate concerns that need to be worked through, but if all we ever do is take the, you know, the concerns of people who live in one block and let them override the kind of greater good of building a system like this, we will never build anything, and we will never have anything, and we will continue to make this complaint for the next 40 years about the lack of a comprehensive rail system. That said, so back to my point about the construction impacts, it's not going to be 3 weeks. Let's be kind of, not to say David wasn't honest about this, but let's be kind of realistic about it. 6 weeks, 9 weeks, right? Is that short-term pain managed very well and aggressively worth it in a regional context? I think the answer is, without a doubt, yes. But no doubt there will be some issues that have to be worked
through. But the question I raised here, because kind of the sense of two of the last callers and of this email I read before we go back to the phones is, if we're going to invest in transportation in Baltimore City, and there's less and less amounts of money to invest in transportation, period, everywhere we go, but we got to invest lots in if we're going to survive the future, should it be hybrid buses throughout the city? Should it be trolley and rail that connects the city? Which way do we want to go is the question I'm asking.
Well, we have to look at this trolley thing. The trolley is not part of any comprehensive transportation plan in Baltimore. It's 3.5 miles long. It's going to impact the existing transportation system negatively. I don't think that the Charles City Trolley has anything to do with mass transportation in Baltimore. It's something that's designed to spur development, and I don't think it will spur development. I think we should be focused on improving the transportation in Baltimore and having the discussion of what's the best way to do that.
David Funk.
We've always viewed the Charles Street Trolley as a test of whether a trolley is successful. If the Charles Street Trolley is as successful as we believe it will be at moving people up and down the corridor, then I think the next step is to build trolleys elsewhere, particularly using the Inner Harbor as the hub. There could be a trolley into Federal Hill in South Baltimore, a trolley into Inner Harbor East, a trolley west, and I think in a step-by-step manner, a system can develop. I don't think that we need to make the decision today that yes, we're going to have a trolley system throughout the city. The Charles Street corridor cries out for its own transportation system. And that's what this trolley is all about. If it's successful on Charles Street, then perhaps it will be successful elsewhere as well.
I'll come right back to you. Let me go back to the phones at 410-319-8888. Jim in Washington, D.C., you're on the air.
Okay, thanks, Mark. I just wanted to add echo some things that some of the other callers have said, but I just got back from New Orleans and had a wonderful time traveling on the St. Charles Avenue streetcar, and it was
I've been on it myself.
An enviable transportation system for any city aspiring to be, you know, a thriving 18th century city. I mean, the thing was made out of wood. It was just beautiful. But I, like I said, I want to echo what one of the other callers said. Baltimore needs, like, a modern transportation system. I live in Catonsville, and every time I want to go anywhere, I have to get in my car. It used to be a streetcar line that went right past my house. It's all gone now.
Sounds like a future Red Line rider to me.
And the notion that we're going to have either buses or streetcars, to me, is frankly, just it sounds like a bad idea all around. I frequently travel to New York. I frequently travel to Tokyo. I frequently travel to Paris. Those cities all have networks of subways that don't get in the way of traffic. They're not impeded by traffic, and they positively whisk you from one location in a city to almost anywhere else.
So are you saying no to buses or trolleys? You're saying yes to subways? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, I'm just incredibly frustrated by the lack of what I see as vision and someone who's, you know, going to actually lead this city into the future instead of into further decay. And the notion that we need, you know, Charles Street to be developed when, if you look at, you go to the west side of Baltimore out towards where I live and half of the town's bombed out. The notion that you want to do something bad to those lovely houses on Charles Street and leave those other bombed out parts of town alone is also a frustrating notion to me. So I just feel like, where's the vision? Where's the leadership? And, you know, can we please move in a direction that will get Baltimore out of the 18th century and maybe even into the 21st?
Jim, thanks for holding on. Thanks for your thoughts. Let's go to Patrick in Charles Village.
Hey, there's so much that's been said that seems misleading or confusing. That there's a lot I'd love to say, but...
Yeah, we only have about a minute to give you, so go ahead.
I'm sorry. There's so much that's been said that seems misleading or confusing, but I guess talking to the majority of my neighbors have been very supportive of this project. And I guess one of the things is that for all the bus service in the corridor, a lot of my neighbors still drive downtown or drive to the West Baltimore MARC station because the existing bus service is frequently off schedule or it's packed to the gills by the time it gets to 33rd and Greenmount. And I think that this makes a lot of sense to make this type of investment in this corridor because it connects some of the highest density neighborhoods in the city. It connects to the major train station that connects us to Washington, D.C. and to other places. It connects us to a lot of the different educational institutions in this area. And this isn't the end-all, be-all of where we should be investing in transit, but I think this is the place that it makes sense to make investments now.
Let's ask this question here with the three of you very quickly. We only have about 3 minutes till we have to break here, Is the question of why we should proceed on this and not on transportation issues that are larger than this. Why is this so vitally important for us to do, or is it not?
Because of Charles Street.
Because of Charles Street.
Well, it's important because of the quality of life in Baltimore City. We should be looking at the transportation throughout the city, making the city, the whole transportation of the city, better. That's the primary reason I'm against the trolley, because it's taken the scarce funds and using it in a small place, and we need to improve the transportation throughout the city.
And the primary reason I'm in favor of it is because I think that with an expenditure of funds in the Charles Street corridor, Charles Street can become the jewel of the city.
Before we try to get another caller in here, let me just read an email. Brian writes in, as much as it might be nice to bring streetcars back to Baltimore, we already have a subway and a light rail system that don't connect very well. Why add yet another rail system that won't integrate smoothly into what we already have? It seems to me we'd better pick up just one of the systems we already have and to push more aggressively for its expansion throughout the city. It's much easier to ride the train when you only have to buy one ticket and stay within one system similar to D.C.'s Metro, rather than having a patchwork of systems that happen to be a fad of the decade in which they were built.
It's a fair enough point. I think that, on the other side of that, though, is that if you look at the route that the Charles Street Trolley Corporation has posed, it literally would cross over, not a block from, but over the Charles Center Metro Station and a Red Line station. When the Red Line is built, it would cross over the Penn Station, so the Amtrak, MARC, and light rail stations there as well. So I'm not terribly worried about connectivity in this context. It's a vertical connectivity that you have among systems. So I'm not worried about the issue of connectivity because I think you have direct connections here from one to another.
Well, I wish we had more time, but we don't. I would just say that in closing, we're going to come back to this debate and have you all back and really need to work this thing out, I think, in the context of the future of our transportation in Baltimore City and where we want to go. Maybe we need to have like a two-hour town meeting that you all could be part of just about transportation and our future in the city, which I think would be really important to do. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today, Ed Hopkins, David Funk, and Jamie Kendrick. It's been a pleasure to have you on the studio for one of our Urbanite Radio stories, Should We Have a Trolley? And all I can say in conclusion is I would just say a pox on General Motors and Firestone Rubber and all those people who conspired to get rid of our trolley system to begin with. We would be having this debate if they hadn't screwed us from the start. But, gentlemen, good to have you all in the studio.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. And Leah Gilmore will be in the house to talk about all manner of things. It'll be another great hour coming up. Stay with us for Leah Gilmore. We're back in just 1 minute.